Jude chapter 1, really, there's only one chapter there in Jude, verse 20. So Jude chapter 20, thank you, worship team. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to center the thoughts today around building up yourselves and talk about spiritual vitamins for growing souls. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. Lord, may it challenge each of us. May we all make sure today that we are taking our spiritual vitamins, that we might be strong and healthy Christians for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Bob Perks told the following story. He said, "It's the world we live in that made me feel that way. Otherwise, I wouldn't have thought for a moment about sitting next to that beautiful young girl. My recent trip to Kentucky ran smoothly except for a near two-hour delay in Pittsburgh. I must admit I have never had a major problem while flying across this great country. In fact, I believe this was the first time I ever experienced a delay that long. But I always tell my travel agent that if I ever need to be delayed, let it be in Pittsburgh. They have the greatest shops and restaurants to keep me busy for hours." Is that true, Tom and Lorraine? Not really. I didn't think so. They finally announced boarding. Now, I don't believe for a moment that I'm the only person who goes through this. From the moment I enter the plane, I start scanning ahead to see my seat. Who's sitting next to me on this flight, I wonder? Is there anyone in my seat already? That's happened a few times. Are there any screaming babies nearby? Flight time is precious for me. I sleep, write, or read, so screaming babies and frequent bathroom people become a problem. Today, I get to sit next to a beautiful young girl who appears to be about 12 years old. As I approach my seat, she seems nervous, perhaps a little apprehensive, and I must say, very disappointed. You see, walking in front of me was this handsome young male teenager. I could see the sparkle in her eye dim as he walked by and I sat down. I'll admit I was nervous and a little concerned. She was traveling alone and I was one of those strangers her parents told her not to talk to. "Hi, my name is Bob," I said. "Hello," she replied without giving her name. Then we spent the next 1 hour and 15 minutes not saying a word. She was a typical kid. She never sat still for longer than 5 minutes. Oftentimes, she reached into her carry-on and pulled out in what appeared to be 6 brushes, 4 packs of gum, and all the empty wrappers, a bag filled with jawbreakers, a tube of rainbow-colored sugar crystals, and 3-foot-long licorice. Oh yes, she also ate 2 bags of airline peanuts. I gave her mine. It wasn't until the last 15 minutes of the flight that I heard it. That sweet-sounding voice that said, "Give her one of your books." "She's only 12, I argued. "She wouldn't find my book interesting. Do they even know how to read at 12? I thought sarcastically. But again and again, I heard it repeat, "Give her one of your books." And so I opened one up, signed it, and said, "I'm a professional speaker and author. I'd like to give you one of my books if you would permit me." She giggled a bit and said yes, followed by, "Oh, thanks." I then began to explain the story. We'll find out the story at the end of the message this morning. But our text verse again, verse 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Our scripture says, building up yourselves. If you look at this from the Greek, you can see that it could be taken as a definite command. We are to build up ourselves. You are to build up yourself. I am to build up myself. And we all know that man is a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. If he's normal, all three of these will be properly developed. If your physical muscles become substandard, you will grow to be smaller than most adult people should. If your mental powers are damaged, you will grow to be an adult person with a slower learning capacity. But God says, build up yourselves. He's talking about the spiritual here. He doesn't mean the physical. He doesn't mean the mental. The words definitely point to the spiritual side of us as human beings. And I pray today that you will determine before you leave here today that you will build up yourselves in the most holy faith. That you would set this right now as a goal for yourself, that you will learn through this message how you can build yourself up and then set about to do it. I'm interested in your physical and your mental, but there are others that are interested in that. There's doctors and others. But I am interested in helping you grow spiritually. As a minister of the gospel, I am interested in your spiritual well-being and that you are well-fed. One absolute essential for growth, to grow naturally, is food. And from food, we get vitamins. The world today is vitamin conscious. And it should be, because a diet that is lacking in nutrition is a waste of money and effort. But vitamins benefit our physical health and that also help ward off certain diseases. And I believe that there are vitamins for the spirit and the soul as well. If your soul is to grow, it must have certain spiritual vitamins. And so as your spiritual doctor today, I'm going to prescribe a diet that I guarantee will build you up in the things of the spirit. You know, I just discovered something new this week. I discovered that rocks grew on trees. Well, not quite, but I discovered rock trees. Anybody ever heard of rock trees? I never knew where rocks came from. I thought they came from Boulder, Colorado. But I was wrong. Yeah. Rock trees are approximately 6 foot tall trees that have rocks hanging from four of its branches. Each are placed at four points as if to create balance for the tree. In fact, that's exactly what it does. These rocks create balance. They take a tree that won't seem to take root. And you know, if there's no root system, it doesn't take root, it's not going to grow. So they take a tree that doesn't seem to take root, and then by balancing the tree and weighting it down, the tree has a better chance of survival. What came to my mind as I learned that was that there was four rocks in this four corners of balance, and I thought that a successful life also has four areas in which it needs to be balanced. There's the spiritual, the family, the personal, and the professional. In fact, I think they're probably in that order of importance. Our spiritual is first. And so that's why I want to focus on the spiritual side of things. Just like the tree, we have to learn to balance our roots, our lives, so that our roots can grow stronger. We open ourselves up to the nourishment that a balanced life provides, and the fruits of our efforts are abundant in four areas. I'm sure that you know strong root system will help a tree survive in a storm. There are storms of life, whether we like it or not, they're going to come. Last week, a storm ripped through here. Fortunately, it was not as bad here as it was in some other places. Some trees were down, I noticed, as we were just coming home from vacation. I noticed some trees down, some branches down. You know, the stronger the root system that a tree has, the more effective it will be able to stand against destructive storms. And the stronger your root system is, the better chance you have of standing firm, even though the storms of life may blow your way. And again, today I'm interested in the spiritual. When a little girl was put to bed, she said, "Wait a minute, Mother, I forgot my soul." So she got out of bed, knelt down, and prayed her simple child's prayer. You know, we do so much, but sometimes we forget our soul. It is the most important. In the Far East, the people plant a tree called the Chinese bamboo. During the first 4 years, they water and fertilize the plant with seeming little or no results. Then the fifth year, they again apply water and fertilizer, and in 5 weeks' time, the tree grows 90 feet. You know, I talk to young people, and they always want to grow up faster than they should. They always want to be a little bit older, and some of them will stretch the truth a little bit on their age, because they want to be older than they really are. You know, it's not natural for all of us to grow at the same rate. It's not natural for all of us to grow at the same time. Young people sometimes have a hard time fitting in, asking, "Where do I belong? Where do I fit in? And they're trying to discover themselves. They're trying to discover who they really are. Sometimes they look in the mirror and they really don't even know who they are looking at. Who am I? They think to themselves. Where do I fit in life? What is God's plan for me? What is going to be my purpose in life? You know, I wish I could make all of that go away for you children and young people today, and maybe even a few adults. But you know, those wonderings about life, they really never go away, they just change. The issues of youth grow into new challenges of life, growing up, and then growing old has its own challenges. You will get a sense of who you are. You will one day seemingly seem to understand what you want. But the world is going to keep changing right along with you, and suddenly those dreams and things that you thought were so important to you fade in comparison to new visions and new dreams and new things that come your way. Things that you could not possibly see then, but were in truth there all along, will suddenly appear. You'll look in the mirror many times in your life and question yourself. It's good to do that, because you can't lie to that person in the mirror. You can't pretend to be or to do something other than who you are or what you are doing. That reflection in the mirror doesn't lie. You'll struggle with now and then until you realize the value of the search for the real you. Believe it or not, it is a good thing. Because like a rose, it takes a while for that rose to open up and to unfold all of its beauty. When I buy roses for my wife, which probably isn't as often as I should, I will look for those that are not open yet so that she can enjoy them that much longer. I pray that the ones I buy will open up, because they don't always do that. But they will open up and they will be a beautiful flower on her table or her counter. Your life sometimes takes a while to open up. But that process sometimes is slower than we want it to be. But be patient. I've heard young people say that they think that growing up has been too long already. So my question to you is this. That Chinese bamboo that grew 90 feet in 5 weeks, can anybody tell me when that bamboo started growing? Was it just the fifth year? No, it started growing day one. That's right. You start growing day one. Young people, you're growing right now. Even though you are not grown to the place that you want to be, you are in the growing process. It might be slow. Someday, you're probably just going to shoot up. And you know, sometimes we look at our children and we think, man, they've grown up overnight. Where did the years go? And that might happen to you in your life. So let's consider some vitamins, because it's natural for you to grow. Let's consider what these vitamins are good for, the results of being without them, and the sources from which they come. All right? Vitamin A. Vitamin A is good for vision. A good, clear, true vision. Without vitamin A, people are nearsighted, colorblind, half-blind, or perhaps even totally without sight. Now, we obtain this vitamin, vitamin A, by reading the Bible. I don't know if this is a man's disease or if there's anybody else like me here, but I'll be told to go get something out of the cupboard or something, and I'm looking in the cupboard, and I'm trying my hardest, and I'm moving cans and moving boxes, and I finally I'll just say, it isn't here. I can't see it. We must have forgot to buy it at the store. Debbie will walk right over there, look in the cupboard, and immediately pull it out. Anybody else like that or like me? I don't know what it is. Maybe I try too hard, but I'm just looking at the thing, and it would bite me in the face, you know? And I just can't see it. Unfortunately, some of my children have that same trait. They got that from me. They can't find it either. In fact, I'll call them over. Mom wants this. Do you see it? No. We don't see it. It wasn't there, honestly. We both of us just looked for it. It's just appeared. Yeah, she had it up her sleeve. She hid it there as she went over there. You know that some people are like that with reading the Bible, too. They say, I can't see it. I can't see. What is it trying to teach me? What is it trying to say to me? I can't see. I can't understand. As pastor, I hear things all the time like, Pastor, do you see anything wrong with this activity? I don't see anything wrong with this or that. Or do you think it's wrong to participate in certain habits or activities? And you know what? The pastor or another Christian comes along. He looks in the Bible and he pulls out a verse immediately and he says, here it is. It was there all along. The Bible warns us that without a vision, without the ability to be able to see, people will perish. Have you noticed that today things are no longer right or wrong? Sin is prevalent to such a degree that, you know, we're not shocked anymore by some of the things that take place. It takes a lot to shock us anymore. People think that they are living in a gray world because to many things are no longer black or white. And I wonder, has the generation in which we are living lost its sense of discernment so that it is no more able to tell right from wrong? The Bible warns us that the day will come when people will call good evil and evil good. And I see those things happening in our day, and have we lost our sense of discernment? Have we lost our direction? What we need to do is we need to get in the Word, we need to get into the Bible and pray for understanding that our eyes might be opened, that we might be able to see, and to ask God for one of the gifts of the Spirit that is neglected today. Sadly, the gift of discernment is lacking. But we could pray and ask God, God, would you give me discernment so that I may be able to see? May I have a clear view of sin and the remedy that is provided for in the blood. You see, we'll never be able to accept the remedy of the blood unless we first see that there is a sin and there is disease. Hope none of you are so nearsighted, lacking in vitamin A, that you can't see your loved ones or your next door neighbors plunging into the pits of hell around you. Many soothe their consciences today, soothe their convictions, harden their hearts because of the excuses of being too busy. We are just plain too busy to take care of people's spiritual needs, the needs that are around us. It's almost like busyness has become a fad today. May we not be so busy that we miss sight of that which God has called us to look on. He has called us to look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Some years ago, a ship was wrecked off the Irish coast, resulting in the loss of several lives. The captain and the crew were careful and experienced sailors. The weather wasn't too bad, yet the ship was blown off course and into the rocks. And so they began to question why. Why did this happen? When the divers went out to investigate the wreck, they brought a compass out. Upon close examination, they found that the broken blade of a knife had been stuck in the compass. The blade had lodged there when a sailor was cleaning the compass. That little piece of steel threw the compass off and caused the shipwreck. And there are many Christians who ought to be sailing on course for Jesus, living for Him and serving Him, but they have let some sin or the world come into their lives to get them off course, and many are running aground. The problem is that they are making shipwreck not only of their own lives, but of the lives that they have the potential to influence for Christ. And so I would encourage you today to take vitamin A and get a vision, not just of yourself, but a vision of others. Get a vision of what God wants. Read the Bible, because it will help keep you on course and keep your priorities right. Vitamin B. This one is good for the nervous system. It serves as a tonic. It soothes, calms, and gives rest. Vitamin B, folks, are necessary, because without vitamin B, people are fussy, grouchy, irritable, hard to please, and extremely sensitive. I think the source of this vitamin is in the prayer closet and in meditation. You know, I think so much of Christianity today has become hard work for people. I think it would be a lot easier if we just follow the disciplines that God has lined up for us. We get in His Word and pray, and read His Word, and we get in the prayer closet and we pray, and we'll have a faith that is not worked up, but a faith that is built up. And there is a difference. Christians have been taking on the colorings of their surroundings, the colors of the world. And yet David gave us this plea, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Don't worry about that. Fretting over evildoers is like that piece of metal that was broken off in the compass. If you get your eyes on other people, and you are worried about other people, and you're comparing yourself to them, your life is going to be blown off course. And you yourself will make shipwreck. Prayer is the vital breath of a Christian. We cannot grow without it. Even Jesus needed to pray. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? A praying man is never defeated. God promises him victory and will supply his every need. The English preacher Spurgeon took a man through his orphanage where more than 500 children were being cared for. The man asked Spurgeon, "How are you able to finance such a big enterprise?" Spurgeon said, "Yonder is the bank from where I get my money." The man looked to see where he was pointing. He said, "I don't see any bank." "Look over the door," said Spurgeon. And there was a carving over his door that read, "Jehovah Jireh," which means "The Lord will provide." All the great resources of God are ours if we would ask for them in faith and use them for His glory. God is the most generous Father. He gives us more air than we need to breathe. He gives us more water than we need to drink and to take care of ourselves. He gives us more stars than we can count. God gives way beyond our expectations. God gives way beyond our need. And then the deepest prayers are not always expressed in spoken words. They are found in simply opening our souls up to God. How many of you have ever been to the place in your life where you really couldn't even pray, but your soul just stretched out to God? That is, I think, the kind of prayer that is the most effective. And that is the kind of prayer that draws our souls close to God. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Why not try this exercise? Sit down and think about God. Think of what He is like. Think of all that He has done for you. And you know, you can't be thinking very long until you begin to thank Him for being your Heavenly Father and letting you be His child. That right kind of thinking will always lead to thanking. That is a vitamin that grows the soul. The world does not need irritable, fussy, sensitive, easily offended Christians. Let's not starve our souls and our spirits and also the ones that are around us. The cure is a large dose of vitamin B, the prayer closet, and meditation. If you feel irritable, grouchy, and sometimes we can't even explain why we feel that way. We just feel that way. "Don't talk to me. I'm irritable. I'm grouchy today and I don't know why." That's the time you need to find the prayer closet and begin to meditate on the goodness of God. Vitamin C. This vitamin is good for building up resistance and restoring energy. If I understand this right, vitamin C puts iron in your blood. Without it, resistance is low. We tire easily. We catch colds quickly. We have little or no strength. Our energy is gone. We feel weak and faint. As Christians, we get vitamin C by attending church, the means of grace. This means Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights. We also receive it by being involved in Christian activity. When I urge you to come to church, I'm not trying to just get a crowd. I urge you to come to church because I know the power of the gospel. I know that the sermons and the songs and the prayers will help you to be a better person. It's never easy to live the Christian life, but it is much easier if you're attending church. You may not be able to preach or sing a solo or teach a Sunday school class, but there is one thing that every single one of you can do. You can be at your place in God's house. I send out a card sometimes. Church is not church unless you're in it. You are. You are in church. Church is not church unless you're in it. And that's true. We need you here every time you can possibly be here. Your faithfulness will not only be a blessing to your own heart, but it will greatly influence others for Christ. But I would also encourage you to get involved when you can. Because just as a physical body needs exercise to grow, so does the soul. It needs spiritual activity. It needs that for spiritual growth. You know, there are people who have been Christians for many years, but they haven't grown much because they've never been involved in any Christian activity. When John the Baptist became inactive while he was in prison, he began to have doubts about who Jesus was. When David became idle, there was a time of year when the kings went out to war. When David didn't do that, he stayed home. He was idle. He sank into his deep sin. Get busy for God, and the doubts will fly and the temptations will not be as great. A vital part of our Christian activity is our giving. God says the tithe belongs to Him. It's a joy to be able to give to the Lord's work. The happy Christians are those who have learned God's plan of giving. We need a ton of vitamin C so that we are able to build up our spiritual strength and resistance. Thousands have fallen victim to disease because their bodies have become run down. Thousands of Christians have become prey for the devil because their bodies have been worn down, their souls have been worn down, and they can't even lift the sword of the Spirit to hold him off. There are many who faint when the devil gets close to them. They have lost their strength, they have lost their resistance, and unless we learn to say no to the devil, our efforts will be puny in bringing in the kingdom of God. We need to work and not faint. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Say it with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Don't get run down. Take vitamin C. Strengthen your will and determination to come to church when the doors are open. Get involved in activity. Number four, vitamin D. This vitamin is good for strong bones and a strong constitution. A lack of vitamin D will bring diseases like rickets. The victims don't have the strength or the ability to stand straight or to walk. They are deformed. People with vitamin D deficiency have weak, defective bones. Christians who fail to get vitamin D will not walk straight or be able to stand. I am told that cod liver oil is one source of this vitamin. That's something I would rather stay away from. Sunshine is the best way of obtaining it. So also the Christian will find vitamin D in the sunshine, the S-O-N, shine. As he walks in the light, this means confessing our sins when they are brought to the light. By doing this, we will grow up to be a spiritual giant, walking straight and tall before the world, even in times of stress and strain. The Christian gets vitamin D from walking in the light. Walking in the light means that we are walking and doing those things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father in the minor and in the major things of life. Vitamin D in the spiritual is singing in times of trouble as well as in good times. I always think of Paul and Silas. There they are, beaten. Their feet are put in stocks. They're in that jail in Philippi. They start to say, God, why did you let this happen? We did what you wanted us to do, and now look where we are. Look at our condition. Is that what they said? No. That's not what happened at all. The scripture says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas were taking a huge dose of vitamin D. They were walking in the light. As a matter of fact, the light became so intense that it caused an earthquake. They knew where to find the spiritual vitamin chest. And finally today, the fifth vitamin, vitamin E. This one is necessary for the reproduction of the human race. Without vitamin E, our homes would be barren. There would be no children to grace the family and bless the world. Applying this spiritually, if we are not witnessing, our altars will be empty. No souls will be brought into the kingdom of God. There will be no cries of newborn babes of Christ in our midst. The angels won't be able to shout for joy because no sinners are coming home. Listen, if you have been saved, it is your job to tell others. You need to witness to others of what Christ has done for you. Your life becomes more worthwhile when you know that your efforts have helped somebody else to know the Savior. Now, you might not be able to, as a new Christian, lead somebody to the Lord, to help them come to salvation, but you can invite them to come to church where they will hear the gospel preached. The Bible says that people cannot be saved until they hear the word. So it's up to you, it's up to I, myself, to invite them. To build up yourselves with strength sufficient to bring children into the world, Christians need vitamin E. Spiritually, vitamin E comes from witnessing, fasting, and prayer. Doug Sheets tells an incredible story in The Beginner's Guide to Intercession. I was reminded of this story this week as I received a letter from Jim Logan. He reprinted this letter. I'd like to share it with you this morning. A missionary determined to take the gospel to an interior region of China experienced the sovereign protection of God. Ruthless bandits along the road had prevented this area from being reached. However, the young missionary went preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. He later returned to the base without having seen any of the bandits. Shortly thereafter, the missionaries heard a rumor circulating throughout the area. The bandits had not attacked because an entourage of 11 soldiers had traveled with him. As he traveled alone, the missionaries concluded that angels must have protected him. But why 11? The missionary wrote about this experience to his home church in the United States. His pastor asked when this happened. Upon receiving the information, the pastor had been prompted by God to call a special prayer meeting for this missionary. When the date of that prayer meeting arrived, the pastor was disappointed at the poor turnout. That changed after he received the missionary's amazing report. The pastor was thrilled to tell him, "You'll be pleased to know that counting myself, there were exactly 11 of us who were praying for you that very day." Those 11 faithful intercessors became a wall of protection, a perimeter of protection around this missionary through their fastings, through their prayers, through their intercessions on that day. Now, if that doesn't build you up and encourage you to fast and pray and intercede for missionaries and for souls and for soul winners, I don't know what will. Because our prayers literally move heaven on behalf of others. The story I began with, Bob hands this 12-year-old girl his book. He says to her, "It's a fictional story based on actual events. I changed the names, but basically much of this is true. My oldest son, Keith, had cancer, and that's part of this book." "Oh, I'm sorry," she said. "No need to be. He's doing just fine, thank you. Where are you from?" I asked. Then for the next 10 minutes, this young lady never stopped talking. In fact, as we were leaving the plane, she talked and walked backwards down the aisle. Much of what she said was all a blur for me after she said these words, "Wow, I just saw the Hershey Medical Center mentioned in there. Is that where your son went for his cancer treatments?" she asked. I nodded, "Yes. That's where I had my heart transplant," she said with a big, bright smile. Heart transplant. This child had had a heart transplant. Then I took notice, right at the top of her pink t-shirt, just below her collarbone, the beginnings of a scar peeked over her collar. The vibrant, beautiful young girl had the heart of a donor. She continued to share the details of her stay at Hershey. I continued to listen in amazement. For the story she told was a familiar one. She was the girl down the hall we had all prayed for. I never knew how things turned out for her until today. They say some lives cross because they were meant to. This was more than a chance meeting. I discovered that this child leaving Pittsburgh to go home to Kentucky was a patient in the same hospital on the same miraculous floor at the same time my son was there. That little voice inside of me kept telling me to give her a copy of my book. I argued. The voice won, as always. The last words she said to me were, "My mom always told me that God was going to call me home, but then he had a change of heart." Do you get it? Then she giggled and laughed as she walked through the last door into the arms of her loving family. Bob says, "I got it. I heard the voice say, 'Now you know why.'" You know that when you become a Christian, God gives you a change of heart. I'm glad he replaces that old stony heart. He gives you a new heart, a heart that beats after his, a heart that beats for him. He gives you a change of heart. There's a new spiritual dimension that becomes a part of you that's in your heart. But listen, God doesn't just give you that heart so that you can go on living for yourself or living for the flesh. God gives you a heart so that you can turn that heart toward him and serve him with it. But in order for that to happen, you need to have spiritual vitamins. You need to have these vitamins so that you have the strength and the ability and the spiritual health to do what God wants you to do. Use your heart to grow. Take your vitamins. Are you vitamin deficient today? Vitamin A, good for vision. You get vitamin A by reading the Bible. Vitamin B, good for the nervous system. You get vitamin B by being in the prayer closet, by meditating on God. Vitamin C, good for building up resistance. You get vitamin C by coming to church and by being involved in spiritual activity. Vitamin D, good for strong bones. You get vitamin D by walking in the light of God's word, including confession of sin and offering praise. And vitamin E, good for reproduction. You get vitamin E by witnessing, fasting, and prayer. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I would like to ask, first of all, if there is anybody here who has not had a heart transplant. You have not yet had a change of heart. Of course, I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually today. You've not said, "Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you come into my heart and save me? Be my Savior, forgive me of my sins, and demonstrate that you are there by changing me, giving me a heart after yours." Is there anybody here, by an uplifted hand, you'd say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I've not yet had that happen to me. I've not invited Christ to be my Savior. I've not invited him into my heart." Until he does that, these other vitamins aren't going to matter. This is the first step. Is there anybody here by a raised hand? "Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Christ this morning. I want a change of heart." Then, Christians, are you deficient in any of these areas? If so, don't let it go on. If we learn that physically our bodies are deficient in a vitamin, we'll go out, we'll get that vitamin, or we'll find what foods we can find that vitamin is in, and we'll start eating those foods so that we can be healthy. Spiritually, it's the same. Just as important, if not more so. Vitamin A, good for vision. Are you reading your Bible like you should? Vitamin B, are you spending time in prayer? Do you take time to meditate? Simply meditate on God. Vitamin C, have you been missing church without any really good excuses? Have you grown lazy in spiritual activity? Vitamin D. Are you walking in the light of truth, confessing your sin? Spending time praising God? And then vitamin E, are you witnessing? Are you fasting when God calls you to fast? How many here today would say, Pastor, as I look at this list of vitamins today, I realize that I am deficient in one or more of these areas, but I want to begin to take these vitamins so that I can grow healthy, that I can be the most spiritual Christian that I could possibly be. Could you raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Lord, today you see the number of hands that have gone up. And you know what areas we are deficient in. And I pray, O Lord, that you would simply give us the grace to take our vitamins and to do that which is right, to do that which we know we should do. And then, Lord, as we are obedient in taking our vitamins, our spiritual vitamins, that you would just cause us to grow. And Lord, that our growth would be evidenced by others, that others would see the growing relationship that we have with you, that in turn others might be convinced that what they need is you, and what they need is these spiritual vitamins. Help us all, Lord, to do that which you require of us. And our whole desire is that we might bring honor and glory to you. May each person leave here today built up in the faith and with the desire to keep themselves built up. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.